Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Hosting with me from my living room is Ryder Lee from Raised by Giants. Ryder, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Good to be here. It's my last day in Denver, so we're going to have a little bit of fun tonight. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be fun for sure. Today, our guest is Lindsay Sharman. Before I bring her on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. This is where you get our premium content, all the regular shows, and best of all the awesome content from every creator that is there on Rockfin. And check out the podcasts we feature on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. You can get them all on our website. That's forbiddenknowledge.news. Also follow us on Facebook. Those links are in the description. And finally, check out C60 Purple Power, maybe the most powerful antioxidant known to man. The benefits have been personally amazing. Check out their website for yourself. See what it can do for you. And if you click the link in the description, order from there, you get 10% off plus free shipping. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Lindsay Sharman. She is host of Rogue Ways podcast, author of 4 books, educator and national board certified teacher with a master's in teaching. She tried her hardest to dampen the damage of the broken indoctrination system and protect children. She made it 14 years before giving up on that system. She is also a spiritualist and experiencer of other realms via astral travel, dream walking, visions, and interaction with other dimensional entities. She is a Christian shaman fusion, spiritual guide, and teacher. Lindsay, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's great to be here with both of you and just a couple hours away from you in real space.
Oh, time, yeah.
Reality. So that's fun.
Definitely, we can feel those vibes. You're so close. Today, like Ryder said, is going to be a great time. This is our 3rd ever Conspiracy Buffet Show. This is where we discuss some of the most well-known conspiracies throughout history, maybe some that nobody's ever heard about. And, you know, starting in 2020 through today, we found out that many of these so-called conspiracies are just reality. So it makes you wonder what's real, what's true, and how deep these fucking rabbit holes go. So, tonight we always start these with, Lindsay, one of your favorite conspiracies. Because I have a huge list here. So let's start with one of yours.
My absolute all-time favorite conspiracy, and the one that really like piqued me and got me deeper into the rabbit hole early on, is the hidden history conspiracy, which is maybe too big to even call like one conspiracy, because there's 10 billion different aspects of it. And I love how it's gotten deeper and deeper as time goes on. And now we can add like Tartaria and Mud Flood to the mix. Those are a fun deepening of that, you know, but it's also easy. I feel like it's not very threatening to very many people. So you can like scoot them in on the entry level and be like, dude, what about the pyramids? Like that shit is wild.
Yeah, as long as you don't include like ancient aliens building them in the first conversation or anything. And yeah, it does go over a little better than some topics for sure. But for that's a great one. Anything to add to the hidden history aspect, Ryder? What you feel about hidden history?
It's a deep rabbit hole. It goes down so far because our history has been manipulated from the very start. You know, the history is written by the winners, like is the classic regurgitated phrase that has been used for a really long time, but it's the truth. Cause if you can control history, then you can control the future, you know? And if there's so much about it, like the ancient Sumerian text, and, you know, they've manipulated so much in our history and caused so much confusion that people don't really even know what to believe. That's a very difficult one, going down the ancient history path, because there's so many different facets and little, branches that branch off of the big one. And then the deeper you go, the more you realize that you don't know anything. You know, it could be whatever. It could be ancient aliens. It could be human hybrid frog people living underneath the ground. You know what I mean? It's so vast and there's so much to explore. And that's one of my favorite things about the ancient history topic, is really nothing is off limits and you can go in any direction with the ancient history stuff. It could be whatever, you know, people have so many different theories and stuff. So I really enjoy the ancient history topics for sure.
We were just at Grant Hancock's Magical Mystery Tour in Boulder here, and he was talking about, you know, how difficult it is for independent researchers and people like himself to get past academia and the old school archaeologists who, if you present any type of alternative theory or ideas, it's so threatening to them that they'll go to any lengths to kind of keep their own ideas and perspectives intact, but it seems to be falling apart now due to great independent researchers like Graham Hancock, like many of the other ones that we've spoken to on our shows. So I think hidden history is about to take a huge turn, especially when it comes to mainstream academia in the next few years, you know.
Well, and they use the same tired tactics on this as they do on anything else. Like if you talk about how it's really unlikely that around the time period they say the pyramids were built, that a bunch of slaves got together and used like some sticks and like cut these perfectly precise things and placed them in this perfectly precise way in this exceptionally balanced physical manner aligned with the stars and all of these things with the tools that they say that they had. They're like, oh, you're racist. I'm like, God, like everything. Dang. I'm racist again. Okay, good, cool. But can we talk about, please, like these meticulous, I mean, we literally cannot do it today. That's crazy. I went to Ecuador once and I was traveling up to the equator. And the equator they want you to go to is like a weird Disney theme park thing. Like there's like rides and attractions and it's so dumb. And then the real equator, like the actual equator, was calculated by the natives there like way before any of the Spaniards or, you know, sort of European people got there. When the European people got there, they're like, oh no, you're totally wrong, it's over there, we could tell because of our maths and sciences and stuff, and they put it there. That's where the theme park is. But you could still go today to the actual equator, where they didn't realize it was the real equator until we got satellite technology or whatever's going on in like the 70s or like not that long ago. We just verified that actually the natives had been correct before all of that and had the exact like there's not a smidge, they're not a millimeter off where they said the exact halfway point of the earth. How would they know that if they were just people who like dug in the mud with sticks and like shot bucks with arrows and that's like the extent of their life?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they were smoking DMT and doing ayahuasca and receiving all the downloads from the universe. So that's how they knew how to build it properly.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It's possible. It is highly possible. They were talking about that. Actually, Graham was talking about that in one of his most amazing presentations I've ever heard in my life. It's about psychedelics and entity contact and things of that nature. But, you know, he's talking about how the ancients may have had a jump in, not physically, but intelligence due to ingestion of some type of psychedelics, which, you know, wouldn't be too far off of you know, the thought forms that has come out of psychedelics that we know of from, you know, modern use. So it's pretty interesting.
That's one of my favorite books of his is Supernatural, where he compares, you know, drug trips and fairy encounters and alien encounters and all of these things in one giant. He's such an amazing author. If people haven't read every single book he's ever written, you're missing out. I have his whole collection like right here.
For sure.
And it's totally possible because we know that people get downloads and, you know, we've got like Tesla and all these people, even that guy currently who's over in Africa who's creating a Unity machine, I think they're calling it, you know, where they're creating more energy than is going into it, and he got that also from a download, not on drugs, but from a spiritual, you know, connection, which is same so things, it's still going on today, obviously, and it could happen to anybody. You know, you don't have to be like super special and whatever aligned with the new age woo-woo in order to possibly get some of those downloads. So it totally could be that.
It sure could. And you mentioned Tartaria. It's super fascinating to think that, you know, even up to a couple of hundred years ago, we could have had these highly advanced civilizations that were wiped out of our history books. But I had Professor Adam Stokes on yesterday, and he was presenting some pretty interesting theories about advanced Native Americans and, you know, how the natives could have been much more advanced than they're portrayed, you know, especially a few hundred years ago, you know, pre-Columbus and then even pre-flood, that they could have had highly advanced Native American cultures, which is super interesting as well.
That is interesting. Like maybe they did the World's Fairs type buildings that we see that were destroyed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I was just getting ready to bring up is the World's Fairs and all the structures that were in the United States that no one really knew about. Right. And then they brought in the World's Fairs and built some stuff on top of the already existing pre-existing structures. And then they tore it all down to get rid of it. I think that that's super interesting. I think that that's connected to the mud flood and like, you know, all of that stuff. It's crazy that we could have had even in a civilization that is somewhat comparable to us, you know, with buildings and these kinds of different structures and architecture and everything, because the way that the World's Fairs were set up, it was done in an exorbitant amount of time. You know, they built all those buildings, like huge buildings. Like how can you build that in like a year? That's as long as it took them to build that. So I think that there's definitely something to that. And that's what really fascinates me about the civilization that could have been here before us. And then we were like, oh, well, we can't have this kind of stuff. Because if you look into the World's Fairs, they had all kinds of crazy things. They had like walking sidewalks, they had electric cars, like all of these very highly advanced technology, you know, and they just came in and wiped it out. It's incredible.
Just gone. Yeah, you can't have people being free. You know, my favorite idea of all with the hidden ancient history stuff and these buildings that are destroyed and cathedrals and all of that is the idea that they're actually cathodes, not cathedrals, and that they're meant for harnessing energy from the ether directly and then sending it out wirelessly to this entire, you know, region, whatever they're in, and that therefore they're placed in like maybe even ley line convergences or whatever in order to channel that ether down into this space for people to use. And like, can you imagine how fucking amazing our world would be if we didn't have energy metered out in little stupid wires that are ugly as shit, just covering every city. Like, God, I would love that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's what I think a lot of the pyramids and these ancient structures were actually used for. They were actual like power plants, like healing stations and stuff. And I think people get trapped in the thought and the idea of how they were built. And they're not asking the right question of, what were they being used for, you know? And I think that that's because we're never going to figure out how the pyramids or any of these megalithic structures were ever built. You know, people are just spending their time looking at and researching the wrong thing. And I think that that's a big reason and a big purpose that they are even there, you know, is to distract people from figuring out what they were used for and trying to figure out how they were built.
Definitely. We have to move on to our next conspiracy. I don't want to spend the whole time on hidden history because it is fucking fascinating. I could. one thing I want to mention about hidden history before we move on is how many cataclysms could have wiped out everything, you know, and to where there, you know, we had to restart our whole civilization, and we have complete amnesia of the previous civilization. And this could have happened, what, hundreds, maybe thousands of times, depending on how old the planet is, and it keeps getting older and older. So yeah, it's really fascinating, and I hope academia keeps getting its ass handed it to them from these independent researchers that we have on our shows and associated with. So definitely one of my favorite topics as well. All right, let's go deep. Let's talk simulated reality, holographic Earth. What are we on? Are we in a matrix? Is any of this fucking real? What do you think, Lindsay?
Well, first of all, matrix just means the mother void, you know, so we are in a matrix, no matter how we want to classify it or describe it. There is a matrix all around us, and that all of this energy and structure and form is the creation within that matrix. So whether you think that's hologram or not is also not really indicative of fake, right? Because it is a hologram. It's absolutely holofractal. We've shown it over and over again. Every single tiny component, every photon of light includes the information from everything else in the entire universe, like Indra's web, which is another ancient history thing that we're like, how did they know? I think they knew a lot more than we thought they did. So I do think it's a matrix. I do think that it's a hologram, and I don't think that makes it less real. And I don't think that makes it a trap. I just think that's reality. Reality is holofractal. And the nature of everything in the universe is to have a female and a masculine polarity. The female is the void. It is the matrix. And the masculine is that which goes into the void and creates form and shape and movement. And that's how everything works in the whole entire universe. So I just think it's true. I just think it's fact. I just think the spin that the psychopaths have put on it in order to generate fear and make us agree to be trapped within structures that are false and conceptual frameworks that are false is that it's a mechanical or like electronic or human created and unnatural matrix and an unnatural hologram that's been projected upon us instead of what we are co-creating together. So that robs us of our power. It robs us of our ability to participate fully in it when we don't believe that we can, and we don't believe that it's something that we are capable of doing, you know? So yeah, I think it's like a
layered onion, reality on top of reality.
Yeah. And they really, I mean, why wouldn't they want to capture that aspect of, they always have like a kernel of the truth in their bullshit. And the kernel of the truth is that it is a matrix and it is a hologram, but then their twisting of it and inversion of it is that was done by some evil force to trap you here and you have no power or control.
Yes.
That's my take on that.
And I mean, I believe that, you know, this reality, this matrix, whatever energy that controls everything, I mean, that could be construed as magic to me. And if you kind of hack the matrix, or you're able to use magic or use manifestation in any way, you're able to change the matrix to your will. You're able to bend reality and manifest your own reality. And I think that is the key to realizing the nature of reality and how to do those things, right?
That's why they spend so much time doing magic rituals with a mass consciousness locked into it, like Super Bowl half times and, you know, that Chinese military thing they did to kick off Corona, all of that stuff. They wouldn't do that if they didn't need everyone to create it with them and agree to it and consent to it. So it's not, we could easily take all that back and like look a different direction and create something else together.
Yeah, I think that the matrix system is the collective consciousness of the planet. And the problem is the collective consciousness has been hijacked, right? It's been hijacked, manipulated, and turned into an illusionary force that whenever we get sucked into, it puts us into that program, right? But whenever we step outside of that individually and bring awareness to that, then we can start creating our own matrix reality, our own individual reality, just basically like what Lindsay just stated. And that's the liberation, right? That's how we liberate the planet, is individually. And as I've said it several times, that, you know, whenever people think that they're too small to make a difference, that's the most untrue thing on the planet, because it causes a ripple effect, right? Whenever I do healing on myself, whenever I better my life, whenever I realize that I don't need to be a part of the collective consciousness and I can do my own thing and I stand in my own power and my own sovereignty, then I'm effectively breaking out of the matrix, right? Individually. And whenever we do it individually, we're also creating a ripple effect collectively as well. And then each person that does that on an individual level, but the problem is that the spiritual community and a lot of these other people are looking at it like as a collective thing, and they're not wrong, but they're just not explaining it well enough. It's an individual journey first, and then it becomes a collective journey because we're a part of a collective, but we're individuals in the collective, right? So the best way that I can explain it to anyone is to take care of yourself and create your own thoughts, ideas, and beliefs, you know? Oh. And I mean, we're creator beings, right? We're here to create, you know, so create. Just don't take the regurgitated nonsense that's given to us and take it and then create your own thing surrounding it. You know, that's going to help you and benefit you in so many different kinds of ways. And it's going to open you up and you're going to find yourself in a completely different reality at some point, a reality that is tailored specifically to you for your highest and best good.
Boom. Very well said. Definitely. Now I want to remind the Rock Fan audience, if you guys want to throw in any conspiracies in here and join the party, go ahead and feel free. Lindsay, you mentioned cult rituals and some of these things the elites are doing, and that's another big conspiracy. You start to bring up magic and that the elites are sacrificing babies and drinking baby blood and doing occult rituals to manifest their reality and the outcome they want on the planet. They're like, fuck you. No, I'm out of here. No, I don't want to hear that. But you know what? They believe it. These elite scumbags do it, and they believe it. And no matter what you think or believe, they're still going to be putting boogada spells on you and manifesting their own kind of dystopian reality. So that's a real thing, right?
Right. That is exactly it. When people are like, no, that's crazy. Like, well, you can just look at it and see it. They're not hiding any of it, and they never have been. They've never been hiding any of it. Like, they pretend to hide it behind whatever, but really it's always out, especially more and more in the age of, you know, television and internet. It's like they want you to know, almost, you know, they want you to know, but they also want to deny it just at least enough to give them some, what do they call that? Legitimate dismissal or something. I don't remember what they call it.
Oh yeah. It'll come to me. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. But it feels like they really actually want you to know in a way, you know, they mock people like a lot. The Handy Sook event where possibly many people died and possibly they did not. Well, if you age regress some of all of the children who came out in the Super Bowl halftime to sing a song that same year, right after that occurrence happened, and you look back at the pictures of the children they say died, they're one for one. Every single one of them is represented there, but maybe 4 or 5 years older than they were in the pictures.
Wow.
You're like, that's a bit weird. I mean, maybe not. Maybe they are dead and that's just a total coincidence, but weird, like pretty weird that the exact number of kids and they look exactly the same as the ones who supposedly died, but a little bit older. Then they have the, I always forget, it's like the Hampshire kids or something in England where they came out and there was a video of them saying, yeah, our teachers make us cut up babies and do sex with them. And those kids, they just, and then they were disappeared into the system. And then they went back to the abusive aunt or whatever. And then just the media disappeared, you know, nobody knows what happened. And then in the Super Bowl, the next Super Bowl, one of the commercials that played the most often in every single commercial break had one girl in a little like soapbox derby car. And that was the girl of the Hampstead child. I'm not saying, I don't think it's the Hampstead kids or whatever it's called. And then in the sidelines, there was one boy who stood out prominently as like cheering her on. And it was the boy. So they're like, yeah, we still got them. They're here with us. We're going to put them in a commercial and rub it in your face. You can't save these kids.
That's insane.
It's messed up.
Yeah, people don't realize how large a scale some of this stuff runs. You know, I'm completely of the belief that, you know, 9/11, the Vegas shooting, all these, you know, kind of big things that resonate in people's consciousness and kind of get under people's skin, I think that's all by design to do that. But also, there's like this strange ritualistic aspect when you look at it. You know, you look at what happened in Vegas. It's in got this Egyptian motif with an obelisk and, you know, all there's certain angles and all this stuff. Weird.
What was it called? That musical event. Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't. What was it called? I don't remember.
The Harvest Festival.
The Harvest Festival, yes. All kinds of occult themes and symbolism going on everywhere at a lot of these events and major events and, you know, the don't want to say certain words, but you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, listen, it definitely happens.
Yeah.
These people are magicians, right? They know how reality works. And they know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. They know that human consciousness co-creates reality based on what the mind believes to be true and real, right? And the process is amplified when installed with the crowd consciousness, right? They're projecting what they want into your mind so that you build it for them, ultimately making us believe it's our idea. You know, that's how they get away with and backdoor things into our reality, is they have to twist, manipulate, and invert everything to make us believe that it's real. And then whenever we believe that it's real, it gets brought into our reality, whether it's actually, doesn't matter if it's real or not. Now, that's one of the biggest secrets that I keep trying to explain to people and really hammer it home. And I don't think a lot of people really understand that or can't really grasp that concept, that the belief in something is the strongest power that we have as an individual on this planet. And if you can twist and manipulate that belief on someone, the event or situation or thing that they're projecting doesn't have to be real. It can be fake as whatever. I mean, we see that a lot in the conspiracy community too. You know, they'll put out fake things, you know, like fake UFO videos and fake, you know, alien videos. And then, you know, to serve as a disinformation and misinformation thing. And they get people locked into believing that. And then it creates so much confusion. And it's just unbelievable. It goes so deep on both sides of the coin, you know, but that's just my thoughts, that something doesn't have to be real in order for people to believe that it is. And when they believe that it is, then it brings it into their reality.
It's that, yeah, you're like the same exact energy goes into, for example, if you're practicing the piano, right? You're practicing the piano, you're getting better at it every time you practice. If you practice in your head mentally, you just visualize it. Your brain takes that as the same exact input as practicing it in reality. And it's the same energy that you're talking about here, right? If we believe that it's happening, then it's happening. The energy they're gathering from us, the loosh that they're harvesting from us, is the same loosh, whether the kids actually died or didn't die, whether someone got shot or didn't get shot, or whatever else is happening. So you're absolutely right. Half of, who knows how, maybe more than half of what we think is happening isn't actually happening at all.
Yeah, and another point about magic in general, you know, I don't think that there's a good or bad, really, just aspect about magic itself. I think it just depends on the user, the intention, you know, and which your purpose for using it and what you want to get out of it, which makes it good or evil. And unfortunately, the scumbags using it on this mass scale are psychopaths. So, of course, it's going to be evil.
Has to be, right? Yeah, it's like a knife or a gun. It's neutral, but what do you do with it? You can do some real damage with it, or you can actually do some protection and some goodness with it too.
For sure. And I want to remind the audience, y'all have any conspiracies, questions, comments you want to throw into the chat, go ahead and throw that in there. Oh, I got a good one here. Mandela effect. What do you think is going on here, where we have strange little slight changes in our history and, you know, what we remember from books, movies, cartoons, and just different aspects of our reality? Is it a ripple in time? Did we all die and this is some kind of strange, you know, afterlife? Or, you know, is the system glitching out? Or is it just an internet thing where they're actually changing things? Or are we just retarded and misremembering? I don't know. What do you think?
I've always said the same thing, and I still think that this is what's happening. Is I think there's two things happening. One is the AI is pushing the line to see how far it can manipulate the past before people start to notice and collectively notice and then make a big deal about it. Because, you know, as we've seen, George Orwell told us, and we all know, and we just talked about at the beginning of this episode, if you control the past, then you control the future as well. And so the AI being able to do that in a moment for every single entry, for everything that's online collectively, is really easy. And so for us to not have many paper book like records and versions of things to go check, almost all the Mandela effects you see have to do with video, audio, and things online. So I think that that's a part of it. And then I do think we just have shitty memories. Like we're just, and yeah. We also have like memetics as a thing before the internet hit, right? We have memes, and memes travel at like the speed of sound and light, like they're quick. And it's when just an idea is shared with people. So if I'm on the playground as a kid and I go, Luke, I am your father. And then everyone else starts going, Luke, I am your father. Yeah, yeah. We all forgot that it was, no, I am your father.
It's like the game of telephone or whatever you called it as a kid.
Right. So our memories are inherently shaky. We know this. It's factual. It's they update every time we recall them. They're just not super reliable. And so I think the combination of those two things is the Mandela effect. I don't really think there's any, I think time travel is possible. And I think that jumping realities is possible. And I don't think that's what's going on.
Right. Any thoughts on that, Ryder?
I agree 100%, Lindsay. That's what I was going to bring up, was the whole, you know, the regurgitation part of it. And then we miss, interpreted or we say it a certain way, the way that it's not, it really wasn't originally, right? And then that gets supplanted into our subconscious, and then years later we go back and we're like, oh, it wasn't really that way, and then we think that it's some kind of supernatural cause whenever it's really just us.
Yeah, like, have you ever talked to anyone in your family or your friends from back when, and you're like, yeah, the thing, this is how it went down. And they're like, no, it was like this. And you're like, no, it's like that. And someone else is like, no, it's not like either of those. It's like this. Like, no one knows what's going on.
Yeah, that's definitely a weird one. But I tend to agree with both of you. I think it's a lot of just errors of the mind that are occurring. So, but algorithms, you know, algorithms are terrifying. They can read your damn mind. I swear to God, when I'm looking at Facebook, sometimes it's like I'll be thinking about something and I'll scroll past and be like, what the hell, you know? So that's kind of terrifying.
100%, dude. Since I've been here, me and Corey's been talking about wrestling a lot, like pro wrestling.
Oh no!
And and I got on my Facebook the other day and there was nothing but ads for pro wrestling stuff. And I've never had ads on my Facebook page for pro wrestling or pro wrestling videos at all.
Have you ever reported something in Facebook and, you know, it gives you all the options of like, why are you reporting this? And it's like, it's offensive, it's terrorism, it's hate speech, it's all this stuff. And one of them is, it knows too much.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That must be a newer one.
It's on there, but they've admitted that they listen, and they've also admitted that they can read your mind. And I think what it actually is that they're control. They can suggest things at such a like low level suggestion that you don't notice it's been suggested, and then you think it, and then they show it to you, like, and then you think they're reading your mind, but really they like manipulated you to think about it in the first place. Maybe, could be wrong.
It could be, man. That's some stupid stuff. Well, while we're talking AI, what about the singularity? You know, the thought that AI could become sentient and take over the damn world like a Terminator. What do you think about that?
I think that's more like what Ryder was talking about earlier. Like, they'd love for us to believe that, to add to the possibility that it could happen. You know, because they talk about it, like Jordy Rose and all these super psycho freaks talk about, you know, bringing in other dimensional beings through quantum computing and CERN and other sorts of technological methods. And really what they're talking about is no different. You could just change some of the words, the key words, to other words. And really they're just talking about summoning demons or whatever, you know, they're summoning something through. And so I think that they want for there to be like a hyper, super, uber intelligence that comes through and just like takes control over everything in their sick, sadistic view of how humanity should be controlled down to like, you know, the utmost iota. And they would love for that. So if we're all feeding into that delusion by imagining it and like thinking that it's possible, then maybe it becomes possible. But I don't see anything in the universe that doesn't come back to a natural state. And the more inverted and unnatural it becomes, the harder nature tries to push it back to a natural state. And so even if it happened, I don't see it lasting. I find that nature is very powerful. And so I have faith that there would be a balancing effect at some point.
Yeah, what
happened? I think this comes down to, because if we are in a simulation, we are in a simulated holographic reality, then it would have to be ran and programmed by some sort of AI system, right? That's the only way that it would be able to operate here, and we would even be able to be here. So I think that there is some kind of AI overlord system that is kind of in control of our reality. But is it as diabolical and as crazy as what people are projecting it to be? I mean, I don't really know, but I think that AI does run the intelligence of the planet, and it's kind of been blanketed over everything to a certain degree. But
well, AI literally runs most of our social and societal interactions, like absolutely.
It's controlling the censorship too. That's crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. All the algorithms we can think of as like a mini version of AI. It's not general AI like we're talking about in the singularity, but it's a form of AI still. And so it is true that it runs the world, but that's again, the inverted unnatural world. And in the natural world, like when I go out and I look at anything natural, I look at a mountain, stream, my body, even I'm like, that shit is beautiful. Like that's amazing. And it works perfectly. And it never doesn't work perfectly. Why would we even think we should create anything else? Cause everything that was already here was already perfect as it was. So that view of things, I'm like, whatever intelligence created that, you want to call it AI, you can, but it's a beautiful system. I'm down to go with that system forever.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
good way to what if the mountains aren't natural though, Lindsay? What if they're an artificial simulated mountain appears to be real because it's in our physical reality?
But those are just words. So you look at like what has been created by humans versus what was already seeming to exist, including our bodies, before we started creating our own stuff on top of that, then you can call it whatever you want. You could call what I'm calling natural, unnatural, and AI, and what I'm calling unnatural and created, pizza pie. Like, it doesn't matter what words you use. I'm saying that pre-existing system and matrix that I call nature is an awesome system that I'm down to be a part of.
Yeah, I think whatever you think it is what it is. And that's your reality, you know?
Right. I mean, how do we know that anything is even real though, right? We're using that as a limited perspective view, you know, because we're here in this physical reality. And I don't think that we even can even begin to wrap our brains around what is real and what is natural and what's artificial, because we've been planted in this reality and locked into this system so far that it would almost be mind-boggling to actually see if something is real or isn't real. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but just thought I would throw it out there.
Yeah. Well, that's why I always say too, like all you do know is your experience and your perception. And that's all you're ever going to know. And so you can go astral project and it'll be the same. You can go dream and it'll be the same. You can be here and awake, it'll be the same. You can meditate and have visions, it'll be the same. You'll only know what your experience is. So in that sense, it also doesn't matter if we're in a constructed universe or not, or if it's somehow like, even the word constructed doesn't really work, right? Because who originally constructed it, and then who constructed that, and then what constructed that, and like, how far back do you go, right? So no matter how I really look at it, I'm like, it doesn't really matter. Like, either way, I'm here experiencing this, and that's all that I know of to be true.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Now, the next topic that I'm going to bring up, it can get people a little emotional. It can bring an interesting crowd to the audience. So before we get to that, Ryder, do you have any conspiracies you'd like to bring up?
I mean, the first one that I was ever introduced to was, of course, 9/11. Ah. You know, 9/11 really, you know, broke me down. You know, I was like, holy shit, which it's crazy that we fell for it. You know what I mean? Like, one of the strongest buildings in the world that should be able to withstand multiple plane attacks, multiple planes crashing into them, just collapses, you know? But it was a traumatizing event, and that's how they get away with a lot of the reality manipulation, is traumatizing the public. And when you traumatize them, you can supplant and put whatever thoughts, ideas, and beliefs into them, right? But 9/11 was a really huge one for me that blew my mind on a lot of different ideas, thoughts, and concepts. Because whenever you go to that, then you're like, okay, well, if they planned this and they did this, then what else did they plan? And then that's the first journey down the rabbit hole on all this stuff was for me. And then, you know, with religion and how religion's been manipulated and turned into something that it wasn't, based on much older religions. You know, the Bible is basically just the greatest hits book of all the different religions in the world, you know, all jumbled up together and put in the one place. But yeah, I mean, and there's, you know, some really good wacky conspiracies that it's fun to entertain. you know, like the triangle Earth, the acute.
Oh, wait, not yet. We not yet. You're getting ahead of us.
The parallelogram Earth.
Oh yeah, they got some fun ones, man. What do you think about during 9/11? For me, I was asleep. Like when it happened, I was all patriotic. I was like, "We gotta get them terrorists!" And you know, it did its intended job on me. And it wasn't until years later that you know I actually started to wake up. But I think that was a lot. For a lot of people, you know, there wasn't as many people looking into this stuff at the time when that happened. What about for you, Lindsay? When did you start kind of realizing 9/11 was an inside job?
Well, I guess I already had the point of view from the beginning. I didn't realize at first that it was like detonated or whatever actually happened to it. But I did immediately understand that the government was using it in ways that were inappropriate.
Inappropriate. I like that.
Right. There was fishiness around it. So I was always hip to that, but it was pretty quick actually that a friend of mine sent me, do you remember this campaign? Like people were like burning DVDs and just handing them out of a plain truth or no loose change. It was loose change, the first one. Yeah. And they were just handing it out. And I was like, that's actually so cool. Like people were like, no, everyone needs to know this. This is crazy. And so I got one of those pretty quickly. It was, I don't know exactly how long, but not too far. Whatever loose change came out, like I got a copy pretty quickly mailed to me by a friend in California. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, they actually detonated this. All those people on those planes either weren't real or they were abducted under DIA, the Denver International, which is its own conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that airport is its own conspiracy theory rabbit hole. But all this stuff. So it got deeper and deeper the further I went along into it. And I remember showing it. I wasn't that shocked because I had always been slightly, I always tell people like my father, when I was a child, like sat me down and was like, you never trust the media and you never trust the government. Like that was how we were taught when I was a kid. So it didn't shock me that much, but I showed it to a friend and she started crying. She's like, why would they do this to us? And I was like, yeah, this is what people go through who don't grow up being told not to trust any of these people.
For sure.
So, and it was emotional for me too, obviously, but not at that level where, and there's people still, you can't even bring it up.
Yep. They'll and that out. Was one of those events, you know, they have the JFK, these big events that kind of alter history for a certain purpose, you know, 9/11. Now we have COVID, and there's always an invisible enemy. You know, they had the terrorists and now COVID and things of that nature. So yeah, there's always this kind of society changing event that comes up, and we'll probably have another one soon. Who knows?
And it pulls the rug out from under people, right? It's like, as soon as people start to get to a certain point of like, okay, like here's this new thing we're all doing. They're like, drink. We all fall down again.
Exactly.
There's a really good conspiracy theory. Hold on.
Yeah.
I thought of a really good one on my own the other day because I'm from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where the Mothman was sighted back in, I think it was late 50s or early 60s. And it was the most reported creature case of all time. There's police reports on it. People have seen it. My great aunt seen it. She would tell me the story whenever I was growing up. Every time I would see her, I would go and I would ask her about it, and she would tell me the story. And the weird thing about it that I was thinking about the other night was, see, they've seen this thing for a long period of time. It was like 5 or 6 years or something like that, that there was reports of this Mothman being sighted in the TNT area, right? And many people got visits from the Men in Black, and they're a bunch of the people that had seen it, the Men in Black would show up to their house and question them and all that. And what I was thinking about, because there was in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, was the biggest bridge collapse that killed the most people in U.S. history. Well, I think it was the second one. And I think that there was like 52 people that died during the Silver Bridge collapse. But the Mothman was never spotted again in Point Pleasant after the Silver Bridge collapse. And so I'm thinking that they collapsed the bridge on purpose to serve as a distraction, right? To go out there into the TNT area and to capture this Mothman creature that had escaped or had been brought into the reality in some kind of way. And then they just pushed it under the rug because, again, it was a traumatization thing, right? and to serve as a distraction to get away from the Mothman stuff. And then no one cared after their family members had died on Christmas Eve in a bridge collapse.
Yeah. That's like crazy. They're all busy with the emergency and mm-hmm. everything and rebuilding. Yeah. That's a good point.
But they just completely didn't care about the Mothman anymore. And they gave them enough time to go into the TNT area to stake out where the Mothman was at and captured him or killed him or whatever. I mean, there's been reports about like that with the Bigfoot. You know, people, if Bigfoot is spotted in an area multiple times, then the CIA, like all these three-letter agencies are all there, you know, like on the spot. So,
well, that makes sense too. In that area, there's a bunch of, in Point Pleasant, there's a bunch of underground military tunnels and stuff too. So could have been escaped from there.
Bunkers and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Well, since Ryder mentioned Bigfoot and you're in Colorado with us, any interest in Bigfoot? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think I had a Bigfoot encounter once, but it wasn't much to write home about. It's actually kind of a terrifying story, but not because of the Bigfoot. I was out camping in my yard. I had a huge yard on the river, and across from me was hundreds of acres of national forest land. And so super beautiful location that I had my little house there. And so I was camping just in my yard just to be outside and listen to the river, and it's beautiful. And I woke up in the middle of the night suddenly from a dead sleep, which I only really do if there's like a danger. My danger alert has gone off and awakened me. And so I woke up and I heard something walking around my tent. And I realized how stupid I was to be camping out under a tree far from my house where no one could hear me scream without any weapons across the street from a level 3 sex offender rehousing project. And because it wasn't a deer. Like you know how deer walk, and deer aren't really walking around at night much anyway. And there's not really anything else that would be walking like that, like very slowly and like one crunchy foot at a time. There was luckily leaves all over the ground, so I could hear it. So I was like, fuck, like even if I like zip open my tent and run, like whoever this is could like capture me and like throw me in the river. Like, this is insane. Like, why am I here without my dog or anything? And I'm freaking out. And then from across the river, I hear like the weirdest sound I've ever heard. I've lived in the woods my entire life. Like, I've heard all kinds of crazy animal sounds when they're in heat, when they're having sex, when they're dead, dying, like all this stuff, not dead, obviously, but you know, when they're being killed, all these sounds, like nothing like this. I've never heard anything like it. It just sounded like the most gigantic person with the weirdest, deepest voice, like gargle screaming. Wow. And since then I've heard like what's supposedly some Bigfoot sound like, and it sounded really similar. But what's really cool is when that sound happened, the footsteps that were going around my tent like ran off. So it scared away this person who was perhaps going to try to kill me. I have no idea. And I then later also found out that Bigfoots are often in native traditions in many tribes seen as the protectors of women and children. I'm like, I don't know if that was a Bigfoot, but maybe it was. And maybe he came to save my life from this weird, creepy pedophile.
Wow. Well, we need to put together a Bigfoot expedition for our next get together with everyone.
That'd be fun.
We need to go find that dude. All right, guys. This may not be the last one we're talking about, but it will be a big one because it draws, like I said, an interesting crowd. It's very polarizing. Some people cry about it. Some people sing about it. Some people launch their own homemade rockets about it and end up blowing themselves up to prove something. All right. What is the shape of our planet? Are we flat? Are we a pizza? Are we on a turtle's back? I mean, we talked about how it could be a holographic reality. Then what the hell does that mean? You know, is the space real? You know, these are questions that I find it very interesting that astrophysicists and astronomers won't debate flat earthers about, you know, all their claims. There's some interesting calculations that they've come up with. And certainly, you know, interesting facts are like, that doesn't really make any sense if we were on a globe. But then again, to me, flat Earth is kind of ridiculous. I don't know. I don't claim to know. That's just my gut feeling on that one. But, you know, considering that we could be in a holographic reality or simulation, that also changes everything. So I don't know. What do you think, Lindsay?
I think that it is most likely that if it's not flat, it's a much huger globe than we're ever been told before. Did you see, like, recently Time had this magazine cover out, and there's the best inventions of 2021 or something, and one of them was a more accurate map and representation of the Earth, and it looks like a flat Earth map. And I'm like, whoa, is this a joke, or was they like trying to, like, because they always have to tell us, it seems like. So I don't know, but like you said, there's way, I was like, flat Earth is so stupid, what's wrong? No, like, right? We're really reaching for conspiracies at this point. But then I went looking and listening to all these people who have researched it far more than I ever had, and I was like, whoa, like, what is happening here? And now I really don't know what's happening, and it seems most likely that it is flat. There's no proof I can find that would show that it's a globe. There's no evidence I can find that shows that it's a globe. So I don't know what's happening. So I always do this with my students, right? I'd say, they'd say, Ms. Brown, there's Nazis all over the place, like punching people. And I'd be like, I don't think so. Where's your evidence? And they'd be like, well, it's all over. And I'm like, well, where's your evidence? And they'd be like, oh, it was on the news. I'm like, did the news actually say there were Nazis all over punching people? And they're like, well, not really, but there was like a thing and it sounded like there might be a Nazi somewhere. I'm like, okay, so is there Nazis or not? Or like the other day, another past student was like, ivermectin is killing everyone. And I'm like, where's your evidence? And they're like, oh, well, it was on the news. I'm like, that's a made up story. Where, what other evidence do you have? And they're like, well, the poison control center is all these calls. And I'm like, that's not evidence that people are actually dying from ivermectin. Where's your evidence? Do you have death records? Do you have hospital records of people being actually admitted and treated for ivermectin overdose? No, there's none of that. So we have no evidence. So I'm doing this to myself now. I'm like, where's your evidence? And I'm like, I don't have any. I have none. I have zero evidence the Earth is a globe. I only have what I've been told my whole life. And that's not evidence. That's just indoctrination. So yeah. I don't know.
It's super weird that like NASA, you know, all their pictures are fake. You know, all of them have some kind of computer graphics. So that's like a big red flag there. You know, I don't know. It's so interesting to look at. That's why I'm going more along the lines of some kind of realm or simulation. Maybe not even, you know, physical at all. Not a shape at all. Just kind of an etheric reality that manifests us physically or seemingly physically here. But then again, it's a deep, deep topic. And then you have the hollow Earth and, you know, the pizza Earth. Who knows?
But if you look at it like a cross section, you could see like a dome and then like the flattish sort of, or maybe globish, but still sort of flat. Like the whole map makes sense. The flights make sense. All this stuff. There could still be an inner Earth. There could still be crust under. Like there's no reason there can't be layers to this. And it is weird that every single culture known, we're talking about how like amazing these ancient cultures were, and they knew exactly where the equator was, and they knew exactly how to make this pyramid in a perfect alignment with all this stuff. Every single one of them shows a flat Earth, 100% of them, all of them.
Yeah, but that could be weird. Them being the only way that they can actually map it out, because how would they know to put a globe on there? Because you wouldn't be able to show the entire map of the world if you put it on a globe. You would only see certain parts of the world. So the easiest way to do it would be to flatten it all out so you can see all the different countries all at one time.
But they're showing it from out in like space, if space exists. They're showing it from afar. So why wouldn't they then be able to?
It would be too confusing if you were to put, because if you were to look at the Earth down, you would only see a certain part of the Earth, right? So they would have to like duplicate it or put two strands on it, like put two examples, and that would just be more confusing than just making it flat.
That's only you're confusing mapping and visualizing the entirety. They're not mapping when they're doing that. That's a representation of the whole. Mapping, you do have to do what you said, and like do sections or do whatever to see all of it. But to just look at the whole and say like, what does this look like, and imagine it, you could be anything.
I think that the whole flat Earth thing is a CIA operation to discredit people very easily. Because if you get them believing in super wacky things, and you can just put it, you can just make a fool of them easily, right? Whenever they have very credible evidence and very credible things that they might be talking about, they can just be like, oh, well, they believe in the flat Earth. And then it just completely throws out everything that they've been talking about the entire time and shifts it onto something super wacky and crazy. But I don't really know. I think that we actually live on an egg. And I think that the Earth is an egg. It's not perfectly circular. It's not flat. I think it's just rounded, more like a obtuse egg.
That is what the actor Neil deGrasse Tyson also says.
And I never heard him say that, but I don't know. That's just what I think that it is.
Yeah, yep. It's definitely possible that it's a big psyop to discredit a bunch of people at once. That's absolutely one of the possibilities.
Yeah, I just find it, I find it really interesting that, you know, they supposedly faked the footage from the moon landing, but we really did go to the moon. I mean, there's tons of evidence that that footage is not real at all. I mean, it's impossible that it can be. But, you know, we also have, you know, plenty of other evidence that, you know, that space exists, that there are planets. But it's like, at the same time, there's no proof of any of this on either side. So I think the only answer is for us to build our own rocket and try and get out there ourselves. So let's do it.
It is weird how many people have risen up cameras and looked as really high up as they say that you could see the curve for sure and still don't see a curve. It's interesting.
That is very interesting.
You should bring Eric Hecker on your show, Lindsay. He went to, he worked in Antarctica for a year, and he, that's the closest to the equator that's basically possible. And he says that there's three or four days out of every year that the sun never comes up and never. It's completely dark there the entire time, you know? So where does the sun go? If the Earth's flat, then, you know, I don't know. It's just a good thought, but bring him on your show and talk to him about it. Cause he has some very interesting thoughts.
Yeah. Like I said, this is a super interesting and polarizing and crazy topic that we may never get to the bottom of, but, you know, ultimately I don't think that's the biggest problem we're facing right now. We've got a lot of other doom and gloom ahead of us that we need to grab it and kick it in the ass and fuck it, like Ryder says, right?
Yes. Well, I'll also add, it's just like the whole Matrix hologram thing. When it comes down to it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the Earth's flat or if it's round at all. Like, I don't care. And the sad thing is how many people did dismiss people who are looking into it. Because again, if you have nothing to lose, then you can look into it and you can disprove it and you can bring all the evidence you want. And there's nothing, you have nothing to lose. And if you do have something to lose, then you're just admitting that you're terrified to consider that perhaps what you've been told your whole life isn't true. And that's not a good enough reason to believe something. So it always amazes me, like, how much people resisted looking at it. If it's round and globular, then you have nothing. Just go look at it.
Right. All right, I want to cover a couple more conspiracies before we close out today. While we're kind of in space floating around right now, let's talk about aliens, extraterrestrials, UFOs. What are they? Are they traveling across the universe on physical spaceships, these entities, and coming probe us in the night, gathering our DNA? Or is this more of a non-physical thing? Is it some kind of spiritual? Are these angels? Are these demons? Or is it us from the future coming back to check on humanity, or something completely different that we could never understand? What do you think?
All of the above. I mean, I've in my experience, I've experienced non-physical craft thousands of times in my life, and I've never once experienced physical craft. And that doesn't mean they're not out there, but it means that I've never experienced that. I've experienced angels, demons, and all the everything in between, and I've not experienced physical beings manifesting physically in front of me or around me. And that doesn't mean that they don't exist, but it means that I've never experienced it. And so I know for sure that there's things that people call UFOs, like the things that I've seen thousands of times in the sky. If other people are seeing them, that's a UFO to them, and that's an alien to them for sure. There's no other explanation. But again, I've encountered them so many times, I've come to understand that they're absolutely not physical. And there could be physical beings still that I have not yet encountered and that exist and have come here from who knows how far away just to put things in our butts, which would be amazing.
Hell yeah.
What a hobby. Like, that's crazy. And they could be doing other things too, and I don't know. So I'm not opposed to physical aliens existing, but all signs point to much more often than not, at least, they're not physical beings. They're interdimensional, or what people would call metaphysical or spiritual entities that can look however they want to at any given time. And if it's really easy for people to encounter them as Nordics or as blue things or like whatever, then they're probably going to present that way, because I've seen them present as so many things and change in front of my eyes into other things, and they can look however they want. So I think the vast majority of it is that. I think a lot of the times when people do have physical, because I also have had what seemed to be physical implants in my body and had what seemed to be abductions. And I just wonder if that is military and secret, you know, black ops things happening on a physical level meant to be perceived as alien abduction to hide some human experimentation or whatnot, or other things. But I love the time travel idea too, you know, because the grays do look how humans might look if evolution is real, which I'll say macroevolution has never been proven at all and has no evidence to support it. But if it exists, then our forehead would definitely get wider, our chin would get narrower, and our eyes would get bigger. So it's kind of, I like that idea. Like, it's a really fun thought.
Yeah, and it also opens up the idea, like you were saying, that they can shift into anything that they want to appear to you as. Ryder and I were discussing this on a show the other day, that what if it's just one intelligence or grand intelligence that puts on different costumes, right, Ryder?
Yeah, I think that that's what's kind of going on, that it's all the same entity or all the same consciousness or whatever, and then they have the ability to put on a different suit or a different outfit, like we hang up clothes in our closet. Right. And then they're just able to transfer their consciousness into that doll, or even put it on in some kind of way based on however they want to present themselves that day. Right. So if they wanted to be a reptilian, Draco reptilian, then they go into their closet and they find the Draco reptilian suit and they put the Draco reptilian suit on. And if they want to be an Andromedan blue avian ET, then they'll go to the closet and whip out the avian blue ET skin and then put it on, and then that's who they are. You know, I think that that's more of what we're dealing with, and I don't know, it seems really plausible to me, but yeah, what do you think of that, Lindsay?
That's interesting.
I think that's a separate phenomenon. Like, I think the for example, cloning and what you call dolls is a good way to describe it, has been going on. And that, you know, for example, the Joe Biden we see now is perhaps not even the same physical being as the one we've seen in the past. And that that consciousness jumping sort of thing has to be a part of that in some way, or a consciousness that can mimic Joe Biden, at least to some extent, you know, had to jump into some sort of a suit in order to do that. I don't think that's the same necessarily as the experience of what people are seeing as UFOs, but it's interesting to wonder how they're connected, because if there are like my lab's sort of thing, military abductions going on and physical, you know, actually occurring on the physical level, then they could do things like that. Like, yeah, totally, here's a big gray and here's a mantid thing, and like, and they're not even more of the metaphysical shape-shifting beings I'm talking about, but that's like their robot for the day or whatever.
Well, really based that theory on the Roswell alien interview by Matilda McDonald McElroy on YouTube. It's like a 4.5 hour interview where they go over the transcripts from the alien Roswell UFO crash, and the lady that went in and psychically talked to the being that survived the crash, and the way that Errol explained it, which was the name that was given to the ET, was that they're able to transfer their consciousness into a doll. And that's where I got the whole doll concept. And whenever it could leave out of this reality, whenever it wanted, it could transfer its consciousness back to wherever it came. You know, and it's just using this doll to go out and explore and do things in a physical body, but they're not actually physical beings. They're ethereal or non-corporeal beings that are just able to, that have evolved so spiritually that they're able to just either do it naturally or through some kind of technology to transfer their consciousness into a physical manifestation.
Hey, that's exactly how it's described in demonic summoning and magical acts as well. And I had a guy on recently who was talking about ancient magical rites, including in Kabbalah and Judaism and other traditions as well, of using iron. And you write the demon's name. And demon is just a word. Like, we don't have to, who cares? Like, incorporeal entity works just as well. And you write its name or its symbols or whatever onto this piece of iron, and you put it in a dead body and it reanimates the dead body. And it's exactly like what you're talking about. And it makes me wonder if implants and things might have something to do with that.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's really interesting.
And we're already starting to, like, as humans, we're starting to be able to, you know, with VR and things of this nature, use our consciousness to control other, you know, material or mechanical things. So, you know, it wouldn't be that far off that that's already been occurring in a more spiritual way. So that's really super creepy, too. I got a fun one for us to close out on today. We were talking about, you know, simulated reality, and that we could be living in some kind of, you know, computer program or whatever it is. What about the theory that, well, first, I was talking to Ryder about this, that there could be like up to 70, maybe more percent of people online aren't real. They could be like just algorithms or AI or something. And that's a very interesting thought. But what about in reality? Are there non-player characters here? Are there just husks of meat walking around being maybe programmed by something like we were just talking about? What are your thoughts on that one?
Absolutely. Most people are programmed and unaware and unconscious. So that's just, I don't know how you could get away from that as just like a truth. Like, most people don't think. I'm serious. Like, they don't think. They have inputs and they're commanded and they just do and they just react. And that's just true. But those people, this is the danger in this, I think, is that whole NPC idea that all these people are running around as literal, like, non-player characters, is that whenever we're dehumanizing somebody, it can be dangerous. Actually, there's idiots who might be like, oh, they're not real, and just start killing people who they think are NPCs or something. So there's that. But but also, it's dangerous because any one of those people does have the potential to wake up at any time and become a playable character and take back their life and their energy and start thinking again. Like, they can do that. It is possible. They've chosen to be non-player characters, and they've chosen
to. It's like Free Guy. You seen that?
What
with
is it?
Free Guy with Ryan Reynolds, the where he's a non-player character and he becomes, like, realizes he can do more and stuff. It's a freaking movie that just came out. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I haven't even heard
it's
that.
Interesting. You should check it out.
It's very true, you know, because all of us at some level had less awareness, at least, than we do now, and less thought, less ability to control our thoughts and reactions to events and whatnot than we do now. So we can relate, at least on that level. Some people are maybe like way far behind us, but they could still wake up and start doing something with autonomy and sovereignty at some point. So I do think that most people are non-player characters. I just don't think we should therefore abandon them. I mean, abandon them if you want, I don't care, but don't necessarily dehumanize them.
Right. That's a good thought. Any thoughts on that, Ryder, before we close?
Yeah, I think that everyone is kind of born into this reality with a soul and a spirit, but due to the conditions on the planet and everything that's been happening to us on a cellular, molecular, physical, spiritual level has either dampened their soul or is in the process of completely removing it, right? And I think that that's a really huge problem, because we have all these things hitting us constantly, you know, with the jabs, with the food that we eat, the air that we breathe. All these things are designed to get rid of our God spark, or whatever you want to call it, our connection to higher realms, higher dimensions, God, whatever you want to call it. It's all designed to keep us down low on that totem pole and skew our perception and get us into a very narrow view of reality. And I think that's what a lot of this comes down to, is to get rid of our our divine nature, you know, to where we can't connect to spirit. You know, they want to invert it all. They want to take away the natural thing. They want to take away the organic thing or whatever it is that you perceive as natural, organic, and they want to turn it into something artificial. You know, we see, I think that that's the definition of what evil and demonic actually means to me, is the inversion of everything good, the inversion of natural and organic things. You know, we see that all the time. They're destroying nature. You know, they're cutting down rainforests. They're doing all these things to Mother Earth in order for us not to be connected to our highest, our higher selves, whatever you want to call it, the alternate reality, you know, higher dimensions or whatever. They want to keep us subservient and like robots and like zombies, to where we can't even perceive our true power as individuals on the planet.
Yes. Disconnection is the name of their game.
Hell yeah. Very well said. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on. That was super fun. We're going to have to do it again, of course, sometime soon. Ryder, thank you so much. Go check out Raised by Giants, everyone. All podcast platforms, YouTube, Odyssey, all that good stuff. Lindsay, before you head out, let everybody know where they can find you, if you have anything interesting upcoming, you know, shameless promotion stuff.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a blast to hang out with you guys today and talk about everything conspiracy. And I do spiritual guidance work, blessings, and ceremonial work with people. And I also have many books and orgone and crystal and stuff to sell on my site, rogueways.org. So if you want to support, or if you're looking for any of that sort of thing, then you can go there to find it. My show, Rogueways, and Middle Path are both on Rockfin here. So you can head over and subscribe if you haven't yet. Yeah. And I am doing weekly meditations now, guided with people that are regular. So if you want a subscription for the month, then you can also grab that on the site. And One Day of Brightness is coming up. It is December 19th. It'll be our fifth One Day of Brightness, and there are still tickets left. So if people are interested in a day of upliftment and learning and connection, then they can go and grab that from the site as well.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming on, Lindsay. Thank you, Ryder. And thank you, everyone out there listening. And we will definitely talk again tomorrow.